Okay, so let's start. Thanks to Comment for the last talk today and last talk in the conference. So my name is Andriy Shakirin, and I would like to talk next 40 minutes about microservices and OSGI and designing, making microservices with Apache Karaf and Apache CXF. So my presentation contains some parts. First question, who from you already works with microservices actively? Okay, few people. Who knows OSGI very well? Okay, so even a bit more, interesting for me. I expect completely other result. So I make a short introduction in the core OSGI ideas. Represent shortly Apache Karaf as a project. And the most part of my presentation is history of one project. Was done, the project still continues for one German customer, where we migrate from web application to OSGI, and I just would like to share my experience and lesson learned in this project. Shortly about me, I work as software architect in a Talent team. So Talent produce open source software based on some Apache projects like CXF, Apache ActiveMQ, Karaf, Aries. And I PMC in Apache CXF and make some contributions in Apache Syncop, Aries, and Karaf. So when I'm speaking about microservices, yeah, it's a classic slide. It's quite difficult to speak sometimes about that because the people mean very different things when they say microservices. But this is more or less mainstreams which most of people agreed. There are some characteristics of that. That's we split application for set of small services. This splitting happens not on the base of technological or technical basis, at around business capabilities. Every service will deploy it in the separate process, and they communicate remotely using a lightweight HTTP, REST, or asynchronous messaging. The database is decentralized, so the services are self-contained and using separate databases. And it makes a lot of sense to automate infrastructure in this sense. This is the core characteristics. So as every architectural style, the microservices architectural style, they have some benefits and also downsides. The benefits, from my point of view, is following that the team could really, if we take the microservice itself, they could really concentrate. It's small enough to be understandable, to be supportable for one team, and the people could understand the functionality inside the service. The services are loosely coupled that teams could develop and deploy it independently. Of course, to a certain degree, if you change the API, you still need some coordination between the team. Services could be scaled different. If you see that one service has a high load, you can put it in the more powerful system or add a cluster node. And its option is not a must, but basically it's possible to implement the service using different technologies and even different programming languages. From the other side, there are some drawbacks, so some downside of the microservices. And from my point of view, the most important are following. So, as far as the services are deployed remotely, they should communicate remotely. And remote communication is not free lunch. Should care about it. It works, but it's not reliable. Should care about correct granularity. Should design for failure. Changing the syntax or semantic in communication, it introduces additional risk because if you change the syntax in local communication, normally compiler says you're about ERR. And in remote communication, you need additional tests for that. You should care about the customer-driven contracts. Very often, especially if we're new in the domain, make the splitting of microservices in the wrong way, make mistakes in splitting. And in microservices, these mistakes are very costly because you must move functionality between the services. Even in the worst case, you should reconfigure the teams, so take some team members, join to another team. These mistakes cost a lot. And testing, debugging, and monitoring becomes more complicated because you need additional tools for that, should care about your message correlation IDs, and so on. Of course, infrastructures becomes more complex for operation teams. And in distributed system, you works only with eventual consistencies. Quite difficult to apply strong consistency in distributed system, almost impossible. So only consistent could be only inside one server. This is the downside. Now the question why I speak about OSGI at all in the context of microservices, because microservices are technology independent, OSGI is more or less a Java. What is the reason why we're speaking about OSGI here? So I try to answer this question in the next slide. And what is OSGI at all? So I would define OSGI as a specification and frameworks which I would say help or support developer to implement and design modular application. It's still not 100% guarantee if you use OSGI that your application will be modular, but OSGI has some enforcement and some support to do it in the right way. Modular application, so to speak about modular application should define what is model is. It's also very difficult terms because we can find a lot of examples from the world around us. For example, this is a hardware model. This is a model from space industry. This is a models from the nature, from bees. This is a Lego model. Basically, when I was a child, Lego was not so popular in our country, but I have a lot of fun to build things from such kind of models. And if we see the models have some common things, there's some interfaces, could be very simple, could be very complex one, and there's ability to somehow to put models together and organize a more complex system from that. Interesting, my parents in Soviet Union be able to have their own flat only because the building there was also modular based and really big modular based. Unfortunately, the buildings was not so nice as Barcelona, but using the pragmatic approach, the people could really assemble the building blocks very quickly, and a lot of people have their own flats. If we're speaking about software models, it's not extremely different from the models from the real world. So software models as a piece of software that go in to do a bit of something and could interact with other models that do another bit of something. So it could be basically it's implement a specific function. The idea of design or create a model is that the model could be reused. We don't create a model to use only once. And model has a well-defined name and a version. Basically, all these characteristics has a jars in the Maven repository. If you take any jar, for example, log4j, it implements specific function, could be reused, could be replaced to another one, has a name and version. Now the question, is it enough to build a model application? Are these characteristics enough? So my answer is yes. It's possible, basically, but there are some buts. There are some difficulties. The first problem is that quite difficult to achieve lossless coupling in the Java models. So if you implement a type or create a type with a new or instantiate it from the factory, you have a tightly coupling. There are some partial solutions in Java, like class for name, service loader, lock appenders, but there is no unified approach to resolve that. You cannot encapsulate functionality in model, really. You can do it on the class level, but as far as you create a package in the model, all your packages will be automatically visible for all clients. So you cannot say, this is my internal functionality and this is my public functionality. Not possible. Using the Maven transitive dependency is quite easy to have unwanted dependency or unwanted version in dependency on the class path. And runtime have no mechanism to enforce somehow that only version what you need will be used. As bottom line, self-describing model contract is missing. So you cannot define what you really export. You cannot define what dependency and what version of dependency you import, you use, and what is your API. And OSGI tries to address these problems. How OSGI does it? The first, it keeps some characteristic of the jar files, it keeps name and version, but introduce something additional, introduce a kind of contract. The first is static contracts. It works very similar like adapter. So if you plug your monitor into the laptop, the laptop expects some signals from the monitor, so some level of signal, some frequency, and also provide some kind of signal for laptop. And the same happens from the monitor side. And as far as this both contracts fit together, the system works. Exactly this OSGI make on the package for the Java packages. So you define your requirements, what you want from the others, and in which versions, and you define your capabilities, what you provide to the others. So the consumer and provider could express is both side of contracts and runtime enforce that. Only if the contracts fits, the bundle will be resolved. Additionally, OSGI provide a dynamic contract, API as OSGI service. So OSGI service, from my point of view, is a very powerful concept in OSGI. OSGI services are basically is a Java interface and implementation. So bundle A has a Java interface and implementation for that, and a registrar implementation into OSGI service registry. Bundle B can get this service. Interesting that bundle B knows only about interface and knows nothing about implementation. If you split bundle A into parts with API and implementation, bundle B don't know anything about the implementation bundle. You can replace it for other. It's really good decoupling between B and A. I can I normally compare even this decoupling with the REST services when the client has as less as possible assumption about implementation of the service, not only API. Of course, the REST services is technology independent. You can also use different technologies, and here is a Java Virtual Machine. Some practical examples how it works. For example, in my business bundle would like to make some asynchronous communication. And for asynchronous communication, I use ActiveMQ, but don't like to be dependent on ActiveMQ. I would like to limit this dependency. In this case, I create my asynchronous communication bundle that imports knows some packages from ActiveMQ and provide implementation of GMS communication. Additionally, this bundle create interfaces, a sender and listener, and provide implementation of this interface and register these interfaces into service registry. My business domain bundle knows only this package, imports these interfaces, again knows only interfaces, and use it. So there's clearly decoupling between my business bundle and ActiveMQ. If I would like to replace it to RapidMQ or Kafka, as far as my interfaces are stable, my bundle doesn't care. Another example is more business domain oriented. It's an e-commerce domain. I have my cart service bundle that has an article and would like to know availability about availability articles. Should somehow call article functionality, article domain functionality. I split my article bundle in two parts. The first is the API and declare the interface, availability interface, and the model. And I have my logic bundle where this interface is implemented. And this bundle register OSGI service and implementation. My cart service bundle knows only about API. It imports the interface, the package interface, and completely decoupled from the logical bundle, know nothing. Logical bundle can use a database, SAP. There is no any dependencies between cart service bundle and article logic bundle, neither in the class pass nor in the Maven. How to declare services in OSGI? There is basically two ways to do it. There's more ways, but two famous ways. You can use a declarative services. It's a kind of lightweight injection framework designed especially for OSGI. So you just create your classes, class implements the interface, annotate as a component, and it will be automatically exposed as OSGI service. And you can also use a reference to inject some service and use it inside your implementation. It's very good described in the Christian blogs, and Christian also has mentioned this in his presentation. Another way to do it is a blueprint. Blueprint is XML-based configuration. It's very similar to Spring. So you can declare internal beans here. And for some beans, you can say, I would like to expose this bean as OSGI service using this interface. And you can also reference some service from outside and inject it. If you don't like to work with XML, there is a plugin in Apache Ares that scans your annotation in the component and generates this blueprint for you. These two approaches, declarative services and blueprint, have some pros and cons. Declarative services more dynamic, more OSGI native. Blueprint has a lot of namespaces from other projects. For example, you can declare here CXF endpoints or camel routes directly. Also, Blueprint has very nice interceptors framework. It really depends on your use case, what you use. If we compare classic microservices with OSGI, the different aspects. So application structure in microservices is a suite of small services. In OSGI is a suite of bundles or modules. Regarding the boundaries, microservices say it will be split only across the business capabilities. In OSGI, I would say makes sense both. It makes sense to isolate also technical, technological things, like with ActiveMQ, for example, or SAP. So I don't like that my technical communication frameworks dependency spread in my business code, and I is isolated in the OSGI. But also, it makes sense to split around the business capabilities. Communication contract in the case of microservices is remote API, REST API, or asynchronous messaging. And in case of OSGI, it's local Java interfaces or also remote. So in OSGI, we can also speak remote. It's not what I will show in my next slides. Regarding data management, it's must for microservices. So if you deploy in different containers, it's very, very bad idea that microservices write in the same database. And in OSGI, I would also say if you split your application in different containers, it will also works with decentralized data management. And if it works in the same container, it depends on the requirements. So if you feel comfortable with a central database, you still can use it and use your joins, for example, to sort data. If we would like to be more independent and, for example, works with different teams, makes also sense to split the database even in the same container. And infrastructure automation makes sense in the both cases. Now I'd like to show this in our project. No practical project, but before I go into this project, I say about some words about Apache Keras. What is Apache Keras? This is OSGI-based container that can use two frameworks, two OSGI implementation, is Apache Felix and Apache Eclipse Equinox. It's just a matter of configuration what you use. It could try as container, Docker image, and a jar file. Very important feature from my point of view is provisioning, so how you install, how you bring your bundles in the container. I will show in the next slide that. Also provide, Keras provide configuration possibility, console commands, also very interesting feature. The Keras has embedded console commands. You can also implement own command, and a lot of frameworks like Apache CXF, Apache Camel have also set a command. For example, you can look all CXF endpoints using the console, or you can have a list of active Camel routes, for example. Also, Keras provides some features regarding login management and security. The most important things is provisioning, so how you install your bundles into the container. The Keras has a concept of the features. And feature is so XML-based configurations. You can compare a bit this with a var file in the web application and YAR file in the GE world. So you assemble in this XML configuration, you can declare dependent features. For example, in this case, I install my order service, and my order service depends from CXF JAX-RS. I need to check CXF JAX-RS here. I can also say add my configuration file here, and list my bundles, so model, domain, and the service with appropriate versions. After that, I publish this feature in the Maven repository in Nexus, so I have a Maven URL, URI, and after that, it's just enough to declare this URI in Keras and say what features I would like to install, either by startup or using console. It's very comfortable for developers and for DevOps team because you should not package something. So you don't need to package things in a WAR file. It's enough just to list it in the feature, publish the feature in Maven repository, and all of you need is access to the Maven repository on the runtime. Now, about this project. The project is in what's done is basically the web shop. It's an e-commerce domain. Team was in different times about 20, so between 20 and 30 persons. So it's so big enough for one Scrum team, but not very huge. Initial technologies was Java, Spring, Hibernate, Apache CXF, Camel, ActiveMQ, and Tomcat. And we have migrated this project to OSGI. The architecture is very classic ones. We have in between middleware that expose the REST services. These REST services are used from front-end and web browser, but also from mobile applications and some external consumer like eBay and Amazon. Internally, middleware access online finance system, credit check system, of course, SAP. If you make a project in Germany, SAP is a must. Has access to Oracle DB and asynchronous messaging using Apache using ActiveMQ. If we look inside the middleware part, design was following this services on the first line that expose the REST interfaces for the external clients. The next level was the domains that encapsulate models and domain logic. The core domains was a collection of the common things which used all domains in all services. It's very typical for the projects. And database access was turned using DAO. This was initial design. Interesting that theoretically the services was independently releasable. So you can, it was a separate repositories and you can release this independently. So idea was that Teams could work also independently of, on each service. But we have seen that the dependencies in a real world were like this. So there's a lot of small classes and beans that references everywhere, especially in core domain was a disaster. And as a result, you can very hard to work in parallel. If you change something here, it's quite easy to break all the services, even make services not compilable. What we do after, our intention was to improve the design architecture, and we would like to try OSGI for that. The first step, and of course it's not possible to do it in one big bang, so we make step by step. The first step was refactoring of the packages. So you see, the packages and projects was very technical oriented. It's even camel oriented. The camel was a bit overused in the project. The package names was really camel dependent. So roads, processor, converters, mappers, and exceptions in user domain. And for example, if you like to use change something regarding the password, you should make updates in all packages. So the cohesion in the package was very low and coupling between the packages very high. Therefore, we redesigned it using the business domain oriented packages names. And care about that the really cohesion inside the package is high, so they depend one on another, and as low as possible dependency between the packages. After that, it also was quite clear what packages are public, what you can export, and what is internal ones. The next step, what we do, we introduce a technological decoupling, so create a connectors and introduce the APIs for that. After that, the database access, all the domains, business logic don't see the technical details of the persistence, for example, or SAP communication. And these APIs will be later exposed as OSGI services. It was quite a good step. After that, the teams really start to work more or less independent, at least in connector level, and can introduce resilience features independent from the other domains. Next step was quite interesting. We really would like to deploy things on OSGI. Project situation was not so good, and I cannot imagine that I go to the project manager and say, now we stop projects for half a year, and make OSGI migration. The project manager say, okay, thanks, and bye. There's no way to do it. So the projects actively implemented this time, their business, their requirement, the requirement would like to have a new features. And what we do, we keep the parallel to deployments, Tomcat and Akara. So the first we introduce Felix plugin, so make jar files OSGI capable using a Felix plugin, so basically create bundles from the jars. After that, the blueprint, we create blueprint configuration on the same level as a Spring. Also see that there are a lot of bins references, and it's what not possible to support manually this blueprint configuration. Therefore, Christian has developed this plugin that scans Spring annotation and create blueprint configuration automatically. This plugin was later contributed into Arias project. And the last thing, we create OSGI features on the same level as was a WAR file. So just assemble the bundles as OSGI features. And about half of a year, we have two parallel deployments. We can deploy the project in the Karov, and can deploy the same code base in Tomcat. So when the people ask me where is your OSGI branch, I say, no, this is OSGI, the master is OSGI branch. And it was very important for the customer because was not sure is it OSGI good or bad, and we have a half a year time to convince, to see that the developers are comfortable with OSGI, it works stable, performance was even a bit better in OSGI. Don't know why, because the frameworks are the same, but the customer have very good experience with that, and they decided to stay only with OSGI after that. The next step was redesign domain logic. I would say that the Camel, I like Camel, it's very nice frameworks, but sometimes people a bit overuse it and abuse it. In these projects, the guys were so inspired with the Camel that they like to do everything with Camel. Every business logic, every if was implemented with the Camel. And worse, that is even communication between the models was implemented using Camel rules. For example, here I try to extract a small example. This is calculation price and availabilities from the articles. So it's a common request. There is a mapper call from the request. The parallel calls of get price and availability. So it was they ask calculate the price for the article, check the availability. There is a validator after that and a mapper of the result. On the first view, from business people, it's quite understandable what happens. But there's some problems from a technical point of view. For example, you don't see what data was transmitted. And data was transmitted using headers and body is not typed. So the best bug what I find here, this direct through get price route and get availability route set some headers, some header. And dependent on what route is quickly, faster, get price and availability, this header is either set or not. So sometimes it works, sometimes no. And with what is the idea? We start with such places which produce the most of problems and create at first a Java interface. So the create a get price availability interface, and we still leave the Camel implementation on that. So an implementation is a producer that calls this route, but all the clients from model don't use Camel routes, don't call Camel routes directly, but use this Java interface. And the second step we replace is a plain Java implementation, and you see it's not very complex if we speak about business logic. Type is type safe, it clearly shows what data is transmitted between the calls, and for the team it was really easy to debug and understand that. Again, Camel is still in the project. We use it for routing, we use it for timing, but only into the encapsulated way. The next step, what we do, so we start with these complex logic parts. and introduce APIs for the domains. So domains also has a clear API and domain. It's even in the separate model. And service will be depend only on this API and not depend about on implementation. And in this step, it's really the teams could start to work more or less independently on their domain, the customer domain, article domain, and order domain. This was quite happy, but was not enough. On the next step, we see that some services are a bit has a bit difference from the set of these services. So until now, the all services works in the same container in the Caraf. But we see, for example, in event service, they have extremely high load. So it should proceed some events from front-end, middleware, like mouse click events, and make kind of prediction analytics. So they calculate moments when the customer is about to leave the site and propose kind of actions for the customer in this moment. They have a very high load, and it makes sense to scale it separately. Also, we'll see the teams. The team was really good in the service, understand how it works, would like to care about that, deploy it in production, and we decide to split the service and deploy it in a separate container. The next service was article. Also, see that they use a separate database. It's decoupled from the system. They would like to nearshore the development of this service, and was also a good reason to split it in the separate container. And also, they should scale differently. So the idea is that it should be done. So the splitting in deployment in separate container should be done only if you see a lot of benefits of that. If the benefits is more as a downside. It's really the lesson from this project. You see that the OSGI could also communicate remotely. So they accept remote calls as a service, and it produce a remote calls. There is some ways to do it on OSGI from the server side. The first way is using the DOSGI and RS remote service admin. This way is more or less declarative. So you have define your OSGI services, and using declaration, the system expose, OSGI will expose your OSGI services as remote services. So this this way is, again, really good described in the Christian Schneider blogs, and Christian has represented in his presentation. The second way is more explicit, what we do in this project. You can declare JAX REST service directly in the blueprint and has a REST interface with REST declaration and implementation of the REST interface. And you just reference this as a bean in a blueprint context. Here you can also, you have a whole power, you can use all CXF interceptors, providers, body message readers, writers, parameters, converters, security, all the things you can easily configure here. From the client side, we'll see that quite important the system to make it fail-safe, because remote communication is not reliable. The service could go down, could go up, and the system should not stop its online shop. And if the system stops to proceed the customer request, it's a big disaster for the customer. Therefore, we care about fail-safety in the client side. And for that, we use a Hystrix bibliothek library from Netflix company. Have really good experience with that. And three aspects was quite important here. The first is a timeout. So the Hystrix defined a timeout that the call don't take a long time independent on the framework, but it's limited by the time. The next thing, Hystrix introduced a thread pool, a limited thread pool. Also quite important, because if the service for some reason slow down, external service slow down, and all threads from the pools are in use, the next threads will be just rejected. Of course, you should have some fallback scenario for that. If a thread rejected, you will put some stale data, or in another way, you keep the request in queue and proceed it later when the service is up again. And the last thing, which is also quite important, is circuit breaker. How does circuit breaker work? It takes a period of time, for example, 5 minutes, and measure how many calls are failed in this time. For example, 50% of calls are failed, or 10 calls are failed. And if it happens, then circuit breaker is activated. And in the next time frame, in the next 2 minutes, all calls will be automatically rejected. So the system is still proceed request with a good velocity. And this request, again, you should have some fallback scenario for that. You deliver some default data or store the request in the queue and proceed it later. After this period of time, 2 minutes, circuit breaker shortly check one request. And is it success, then circuit breaker is deactivated and system works as before. Implemented quite easy. So you extend the Hystrix command, put the configuration parameters here, and wrap your remote call into run method. In a call, you can do it in synchronous way, so invoke command synchronously with the result. Can do it using Java Future asynchronously or make using callback and observable command. So we have real good experience with that, work stable, make a system resilient. So conclusions and lesson learned. The first things what I would like to say that the most important from my point of view to design your application modular. You can start with a good design, care about good design. You can do it either with OSGI or not, but from my point of view, my personal opinion, OSGI helps a bit. Yeah. Because without OSGI, the modularity is more or less think of team experience and team discipline. With OSGI, OSGI force have some mechanism to enforce that. Okay, about decoupling between models, cohesion inside the models, and model dependencies. This is a continuous process, so it's quite difficult to find a good or define the good models from the scratch, from the upfront. Normally, you continuously change the boundaries between models until you achieve more or less effective optimal state. Stay in your application in a single process at the beginning upfront, and only if you see benefits of the deploying in different processes and support an application in different processes. Only in this case you can do it. And if you do it, care about your remote API. Design your REST API carefully, care about granularity, care about REST command syntax, and design your calls and the client's call for failure, for example, using Netflix libraries. It's basically all from my presentation. Now I open for the questions. Okay.
Yeah, I'll go out. So my general question is, from your experience, what is the good guidelines to design the APIs, so essentially the last point, design the APIs there? Should the user of this service be involved in designing the APIs, or is it mostly the person who designs the service, who builds the service, designs the APIs, and consumption of the service? How much collaboration?
So the question is, what is the best practice and recommendation about API design? So how you design, it's basically a question about remote API, as I understand, yeah? So how you design your remote API. Is it user part of, so should you consult with the user, or it's more or less internal thing? So the answer, either you should involve a user in that, it depends. For example, if you communicate with some external provider, like in my slide was eBay, for example, eBay provider would like to call your services. Of course, in this case, it makes sense to sit together with eBay and say what kind of functionality it would like to have and what granularity is. Quite important, the granularity, because if the service will be called for every attribute, so sometimes I see that the developers don't care about local API, local interface, and remote interface. Local interface and remote interface are two different things. And what is okay for local API could be not could be a blocker for remote API, especially if you ask, for example, every attribute of the object. And remote APIs will doesn't work. There's another exception handling in remote API. If you provide your REST interface, you should care that the GET operation, for example, is safe and idempotent. What I also often see in the project is that the GET makes some write into the database. It was also in this project as well. The GET operation calculate availability because they would like to have actual availability and write in the database. Then the front end, see the GET operation should be safe. I will call it, and they call in a concurrent manner a lot of time. And we have some deadlocks in the database. Nobody understands why. Because the GET operation semantic is not, this is violated. This is very important if you expose your REST interface. So for documentation, the remote API, if you speak about REST API, I would recommend to have, I guess I have a slide somewhere for that. Not here. Yeah, here. I would recommend to use Svega. It's really, we have really good experience with that because if you document some concept in the wiki or you have comments in the source code, it's both a bit difficult. So the wiki or documents are split from the developers. And in, if you document only in a Java docs in your code, it's quite difficult for a business analyst and for a specification team to look inside that. In the Svega, it works in the both cases. If you have a Java-first approach, you just add the Svega specification, Svega annotation in your code, and it generates some kind of page. It also works if you use a Waddle first. So if you define your API using Waddle, put documentation tags, then the tag serve is able to generate Java docs from this documentation and plugins, Svega integration plugin, understand it and put your documentation here. So you can also test your software and it has a good documentation for methods and for every parameters. We have really good experience with Svega. I recommend to use it. More questions?